You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
So we're going to talk about weather in the storm. And so I have good news for everybody that's been in a storm. Good news for anybody here, you've been weathering a storm recently. Okay, good. This word is for you. Amen. Amen. This word is for you. So I have good news about you weathering the storm. Good news. Good news. Good news. Good news. I want you to understand that the storm was designed with purpose. The storm was designed with purpose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The storm was designed with purpose. But there's two intentions with the purpose. There was a purpose for the creator, and then there was a purpose for the imitator. I'm going to stop just saying the enemy. I'm going to call him what he is. He's an imitator. And when you understand, you recognize him as the imitator, you recognize that he can never be the creator. The imitator tries to be the creator. But I have good news for you. He can never be the creator. So you've been giving him way too much. Okay, somebody's with me. We have made him to be the big bad wolf. And if you really looked at him with godly eyes, you find out he's way smaller than you thought he was. You know, when you were a little kid and you went to school and you had to step on something to put your book on that top shelf in that locker. And then later on when you went back to the school, at that elementary school, and you recognize, and you say, how did I even walk down these hallways because my head is almost touching the ceiling? You ever gone back to your elementary school or even your high school where you find out that things were so small then, but it seemed so big at the time? You know why it seemed so big at the time? Because your vision was small. Your vantage point, you saw things according to your height. You recognize, and I want somebody to roll with me today. Get your bowling ball out because we're going to hit some tens today. I need you to understand that it's all in your perspective of your height. And what I'm saying is, spiritually, what size are you? Spiritually, how tall are you? Because it's nothing worse than a 6'3" brother with a 2'4" faith height, vision height. It's nothing worse. It angers me. I'm like, Lord, that's a waste of a body. Why make that dude 6 feet tall, 250, with vision of 3 feet? He can't even see what God is trying to show him because he won't raise up his spiritual bar. Hallelujah. It's nothing worse than to see somebody in a pool of water screaming, hollering, talking about they're about to die, they're drowning, and you look at them and you're like, just get up. It's the water's 2 feet. You're 5 feet tall. But it's their perspective and their height that's telling them they're not above that water. So many times we're crying out, Lord, Lord, help me, Father, help me. And he's looking at you and like, do you see what you're in? You're above it. We're crying out, Father, I need you. And he's like, I'm right here with you. But you need to see you're above this. You're stronger than this. If you ever flex at it instead of run from it, find out who he created you to be. It's time for us to take our running shoes off, put our boots on, and recognize I'm here for the long haul. I'm here for the long haul. I'm here for the long haul. Somebody say that. You got to speak that into your own existence. Don't just speak it into this existence, because if you just speak it into the sanctuary, when you leave and go to the fellowship hall, it's left here. You got to speak that thing over everywhere you go. And you got to bring reminders of your new perspective. Hallelujah. Weather in the storm. The Creator created that storm to let you understand the power of the storm and the power that you have over it. The imitator is trying to show you that that storm was designed to kill you, which is a lie, from the pit of hell. There was a person here, I believe it was last Sunday, I can't keep up because the last month and a half, the altar calls are just crazy up here. But there was a woman here, I won't say her name, what rhyme with Lala. And there was a word for this person. And the word kept saying, not so. Not so. But there was a storm brewing. You can just cut it off because people are freaking out. Just click the off button. Wow. You would think Jesus just gave Valerie a prophecy. Because as soon as I told her to cut the off button, Val said, yes! Wow. You have to understand. The word was not so, but there was a storm brewing. Howling. Howling. Trying to cause destruction. And just a word from God saying, not so. Not so is the equivalent of peace be still. When was the last time we broke off a not so over the storm that we know is brewing? I'm talking about the storm you feel, the storm. Oh, come on, Val. We about to have some church in here. I'm talking about the storm. You hear the wind howling. You see the effects of what the storm and the damage of what it did to others. You know it's a storm, and you know the storm is coming to you. Your spiritual newscasters have already prepared you for it. You know the spiritual weather people. They always, you know, now there's weather 24 hours a day. How did we get weather 24 hours a day on TV? I don't understand, when they're wrong 75% of the time and still get more hours on TV. I don't understand that. The point is, before I get off of my topic, if I was wrong, Lord, just give me 2 minutes. Look, if I was wrong about the things of God that long, how I couldn't stay in the business of pastor. Okay, let me go back. I got that off my chest. Now, the storm. I want you to, we saw people today with their hands up about storms, and you have your own storm, and your name is on the storm, and the imitator keeps reminding you that you won't get out of this storm. But I've helped enough people to recognize you need to begin to flip what he says. You need to be able to flip what he says. You need to be able to flip what he says. You need to be able to flip what he says. We had a great mob meeting yesterday. Our smallest mob meeting we've had in years, but not small in effectiveness, small in numbers. But this one lie that the imitator told one of the men of Breakthrough is that he didn't have, like, purpose anymore. And it's interesting because I was hoping he'd say, but Pastor, since you have let me know whatever the enemy says, I need to flip that thing. And if he's telling you that you don't have purpose anymore, that means your purpose is being fulfilled continually. He can't tell you the truth and say, well, some things have changed in your life, but you still have purpose and you're still. He can't say that, so he has to lie. He can't tell the truth. He can't still be the imitator and tell the truth at the same time. So we need to understand how to weather the storm. How do you weather the storm? I'm glad you asked. I've been waiting for somebody to ask me. The way you weather the storm is you take control of it. You know what we all do? We try to stop it. Lord have mercy, get away from there. Just get away from there. Security, get him away from there. I know, Val, if you were over there. Val, I already know. I already know you would have gave him an elbow to the rib cage if you would have saw him even going over there. Amen. I blame Ron. Ron's too civilized. Okay. I need somebody that's not as civilized as Ron to be over there to give a, you know, a kidney shot. The point is, we need to understand you were created to take control of the storm. We have been trying to end the storm. We've been praying to the storm. Oh, let's talk about it. Oh, we're going to talk about it. We have fasted for the storm to end. Amen. We've read books on ending the storm. We've left churches because of the storm. We've ended relationships because of the storm. But somehow the storm is still brewing. And then we get frustrated as believers. Well, I've done everything that I can do. What can I do? I got you, Kendra. Stop it. I don't even have to look at you. I got you. I can feel you. What can I do? This is unbearable. You know what you can do? Take control of it. What do you mean, take control of it? Speak to it as though Christ gave you the authority to speak to it. And then stare at it and say, did you hear me? Did I stutter? What is the imitator trying to destroy in your life? So why aren't you in his background destroying his backyard? Oh, let's not play patty cake bakers, man. If he's going to come to your house and bring his demolition truck, where's yours? Why aren't you going to the gates of hell where you know some people he has taken and snatch some of his people up and say, I'm taking them with me? Weather in the storm. Weather in the storm means controlling it, not letting it control you. Telling the storm, you can cause damage everywhere else but around where I am. What is it doing to you? What is it brewing? What is it hitting in your life? What lies is it telling you? How did it affect your mind? What lies did it tell your mind? What did your flesh agree with? Because it's nothing worse than getting jumped. Jumped is two against one. I told you all the time, we've been getting jumped for a while because our flesh has agreed with the imitator. And now we're getting jumped. It's not fair because now our flesh is trying to take advantage of us and talking to us. Talk back to the flesh. Tell your flesh to shut up. Tell your mind to shut up. Say what God said over your life. Are you the head? No, I'm asking you, are you the head? No, this time, for the pastor is putting on, see, I got some comfortable clothes on. I'm more like the coach today. Are you the head? Yes. It's like I'm speaking to my team today. Are you the head? Yes. If you are the head, shouldn't it look like it? Shouldn't it sound like it? Yes. The head doesn't talk about how it's getting beat. The head doesn't talk about the devil keeps bothering me. I'm so tired. I need a vacation. This is too hard for me. Does that look or sound? If that was your coach, would you want to play for his team?
No.
Just get out there and do your best. I know we're losing, but let's lose with dignity. Who wants to follow that coach? I've had that coach for my Browns for the last 30 years. That coach is gone. We got a real coach. I will follow the new one. Why do you think we're a winner now? Because we're under new management. He understands he's the head of the whole thing. He's acting like it. He's sounding like it. He's thinking like it. Weather in a storm. COVID hit. He couldn't even meet the players that joined his team face to face. He had to install a whole offense and defense through Zoom meetings. The players couldn't even practice in person. They met each other right a couple of weeks before it was time to play real games. And they had the best season we had. In decades. Why? Because he knew how to weather the storm. Couldn't be 6 feet. I mean, he couldn't even be closer than 6 feet away from people. Couldn't even hug his players. Couldn't give them dap. The teams used to always go out and have meals afterwards. They couldn't even eat together. And yet they played together better than they've ever played together. That's what I mean by weathering the storm. Not complaining about the situation. Managing the situation, owning the situation, and declaring to the situation what it's going to be. As soon as that coach came here, everybody wanted to tell him, so what does it feel being the coach with all the Browns history? Because everybody wanted our coach to embrace the history. He said that has nothing to do with what we're doing. We're not here to embrace the history. We're here to change the future. And that's what he did. Who wants to embrace sucking? Not this one. So what has he come at you with? What are you going to embrace? How are you going to embrace it? Hallelujah. Are you going to say the past is the past? Or are you going to keep bringing up the past? No. Are you going to keep talking about how your marriage has been sucking for 5 years? Or are you finally going to do something about it?
No.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to keep talking about how you hate your job or finally become the entrepreneur God called you to be? It's easy to talk about who you don't like until you're the top person. It's easy to complain about the head until you become the head. Then you got to face all the things that the head has to face. And then your perspective changed, and then your height is adjusted. Because the things you saw at your level, you didn't get to see up here until you got that tall. That's why I'm at a point in my life, this is going to sound wrong, but those that have been with me for a long time, y'all know me. I don't care what y'all think about me. I don't. New members, I love you, but I don't care what you think of me. I care what he thinks of me. Because if I'm pleasing him, I should be pleasing you. And if I'm pleasing him but not pleasing you, if it's not his, if he don't have a problem, then you do. So why do I care? I'm out of the pleasing people business. I'm in the pastoring people business. And I've learned. Pastoring doesn't mean being your friend. We can be friendly, we can love, but sometimes you won't like what I say, and I'm okay with that. Every wide receiver from the Browns wanted the ball every play. They didn't get the – they ran the ball more than they threw it, and we had the best receivers playing. Did the receivers quit and say, I'm not getting the ball enough? That's what we do. I'm not getting the attention. What's happening for me? Weathering the storm. Weathering the storm. Take control of your storm. Hallelujah. What are you declaring over your life? Are you living up to the declaration that you're declaring? Are you saying peace be still? Or are you still crying in a boat with an inch of water saying you're about to die? Hallelujah. 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 I told the men something yesterday, and I told them, we're only as strong as our support system. We're only as strong, you're only as strong as your support system. Amen. Amen. This might be a rough one. Half y'all passing out, half y'all freezing. You know, sanctuary. So if you need to cut it back on, feel free for 2 minutes and cut it right back on. I know, listen, welcome to pastorhood, okay? You please half the people and other people. It's like, really? We got to do this? This is what we're doing this week? Yeah, so if you can just cut it off, 2 minutes. Weathering the storm. Think about your storm for a minute. Whatever you do, don't hit heat. Oh. Jesus, you'll get a fight going on here. What's your storm? What have you been dealing with? What's been brewing in your life? Have you spoken to it? Have you made a declaration over it? Or have you allowed it to get the best of you? Hallelujah. The good thing is we're in the house of the Lord, so we should be able to be honest. Has it taken you out of your place of joy? Has it taken you out of your place of peace? Or has it taken you to a higher level of joy and a higher level of peace? Be it unto you according to your faith. I want to tell you something. I don't plan on being here long. The storm is not your enemy. I need you to know that. The storm is not your enemy. Repeat that after me, please. The storm. But your storm could be a physicality. It could be you've been attacked physically. Your storm could be mentally. That thing has attacked your mindset. That storm could be somebody that you love betrayed you, or somebody that you wanted to be there has left you. Your storm could be anything. You fill in the blank of your storm. But how have you responded to that storm? Hallelujah. Have you decided that Jesus said he'd never leave you nor forsake you? So when it left, you accepted him and told him, Lord, fill up the whole gap? Or are you still crying that they're not there anymore? Wife, come here for a minute. It's a cute self. She's a holy roller and a woman. So you're going to be Jesus. Wow. She just immediately. That's funny. She's Jesus. Man, you know, I can't believe it. You know, after all I've done for them and they're not there for me. You know, I was there for them, and all of a sudden, in my greatest need, they're not there. What am I supposed to do? I hate being alone. When I'm alone, I end up doing stuff that I'm not supposed to do. I start thinking about stuff I shouldn't be thinking about. Oh, I wish I had somebody with me. Oh, I can't, you know, I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to hinder anybody. What am I supposed to do? Now, this is what we do at home. Jesus is right here. But our perspective, again, we can't look up. Because everything that we're putting before us is right in front of us, and we won't even turn around. He's there. Do we recognize that he said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake? He's always with us if we'll receive him. But we don't want to change our vantage point because it's convenient to sit here and have my pity party. If I stop having a pity party, now I have to be accountable that I have to make some changes. Now, if I stop having a pity party, I'm going to recognize I'm going to have to get up and I'm going to have to make some moves that I don't really want to do. If I stop having a pity party, now I have to make some decisions. And for the first time, I'm going to have to be accountable and consistent. Mm. Amen. And I don't really want to do that because it's easier to just blame the people who left me. But if we would ever say, wait a minute, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Wait a minute, you gave me examples that even in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were there. But the Bible says that they weren't alone. So even if I feel alone, even if I feel isolated, be it unto me according to my faith, and I believe that what you said is true. And because I believe it, that is true, then that means it is. So therefore, even though I feel that you're not there, I know you are. So because I know that you are, I know that you are with me. And because I know you're with me, I receive your peace. So now, as I walk, I'm not walking alone. But I'm not walking with my cord of peace. I'm walking with yours. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you have to be able, thank you, Jesus. You have to be able to receive it for yourself. Because if you don't receive it, you'll just be in an empty room. Did you get that? But if you receive it, you have all that you need, because he said, cast your cares upon him. Amen. It doesn't matter if we come to church on Sunday, come to church on Wednesday, we get here early on Sunday, and we have Sunday school. None of that matters if we don't receive what's given. What I want to give you today as the coach of Breakthrough Assembly, I don't just want to give you the playbook. I want to give you the opportunity to run the plays. I want to give you the opportunity to run the plays. Because everybody under the sound of my voice has a storm that you have to, not just weather, but I want you to learn how to control the storm. I'm telling you, as the shepherd of this church, because I'm not a pastor of fluff. I'm not gonna lie to you and say, oh, it's gonna be okay. Just keep praying. No. A man that doesn't work, don't eat. Doesn't matter if the grocery store is down the street, if you don't get your butt up and go to that grocery store. Amen. So understand what we're saying. The storm is not your enemy. Your enemy is the enemy. Did you get what I said? Did you get what I said? What did I say?
The storm is not my enemy. The enemy is my enemy.
The enemy is your enemy. The storm isn't. The enemy is using the storm to bring conflict. But the storm isn't my enemy. The enemy wants us to be mad at the wrong thing. Mad at the situation. No, be mad at the one who brought the situation. I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. The enemy wants you destroyed, but the creator of the storm wants you to control the storm. How do you control the storm? I got you, Val. You speak to it as though God gave you authority over it. You speak to it as though God gave you authority over it. Really? Yes. That's why Jesus came here, to give you that great exchange, to let you understand that all things work together for your good, of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. His purpose is for you to have victory. His purpose also, Genesis 1:26, is for you to have dominion. You're supposed to have victory and dominion, not just be victorious sometimes, but victorious over everything and have dominion, authority, power over these things. Do you understand the word? Oh, God, you know what? I can't deal with y'all today. I cannot deal with y'all today. Lord, help me with this church. Genesis 1:26, and I ain't going to wait for you. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. But you missed verse number 26 that you keep skimming over, and you don't understand the illumination of that scripture. When it says, and God said, first of all, God said, when God said, the power of life and death is in the tongue, when God said, when God said, when God said, it became, when God says, it becomes, when God said, it became, when God says, it becomes. When he said, it became, when he says, it becomes. When he said it, it became. When he says it, it becomes. What has God said unto you? It's becoming. What has he said over you? It's becoming. You have to be able to receive. But if you don't receive it, you miss the opportunity of it becoming unto you. Now, It says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. And hear me, and over the cattle. Hear me. And over all these. That's me in slow-mo. We don't have technology yet, so I got to work with it until we get it. You got to see it. You got to visualize it before we get it. Amen. And over, and over all the earth. Now, if you understand that scripture, and it says over all the earth, amen. See, all y'all just haters. That's all. This is me and CG. Okay, she understand over all the earth. If you understand the scripture, you understand that the enemy, the imitator, was walking to and fro. Where was he walking to and fro? The earth. He was walking to and fro. God said, what you doing? He said, I'm just walking, you know, seeing who I can devour. God says, well, have you considered my servant Job? You say, why would God sick the devil on Job? You know why? Because he knew Job was built for it. In my head, I got music playing. See, Job was built for it, and Job didn't even know it, because Job didn't know what God put in him. Only the Creator knows what he created. Only the Creator knows what secret compartments he put inside each one of you. And sometimes you need something to happen to open up the compartment that God created in you to bring destruction to the thing that think is going to destroy you. And this is why God told the enemy, the imitator, you can do anything you want to do. You just can't take his life. His friends and his wife, they were all tripping because things were being affected. He lost children. He lost his home. He lost all these things, but he didn't lose his life because the power wasn't in those things. The power was in him. Why was the power in him? Because God says, and let us make man in our image. After our likeness. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And let them have dominion. Everybody put your phone on silent. If they couldn't take Jesus' life, why? Because Jesus is the Word of God. They couldn't take Job's life because Job was the image of God. And he told us, let us be over all the earth. If we're called to be over all the earth and the enemy is creeping to and fro in the earth, I don't have time for breakthrough today. If the devil's kingdom is the earth, and God gave us authority over all the earth. So no matter where the enemy is camping out with his demons, no matter what witchcraft he's brewing up on this earth, God created us to have dominion over anything and everything he's doing. So no matter what he's doing, no matter how powerful it seems what he's doing, we have more power than any power that he can brew up. And so while you are afraid of what he's doing, every tarot card can be ripped up. Every demonic prayer can be broken, because what's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. What's bound in earth is bound in heaven. The thing is, you don't understand what you're working with. What are you worried about if the enemy is coming at your body? You're not taking that body with you when you go to heaven anyway. He called us to subdue it. Subdue it. You don't know. These are your streets. These are your streets. We just gave it up to crime and sin. You know, before we actually bought our home, we would do drive-bys. We would leave here on Wednesday night. We'd drive down the street. We just put our hand out. We start praying on our new street before we got there. Getting it ready for us. Because we had to let whatever spirit is being operated on know it's about to be under new management. You don't recognize you have dominion. You know how I know? Because you don't act like it. Why? Because your head is down. Amen. I'm not asking you to stop crying, but I am asking you to start crying for good things. Lord, I can't believe you got me out. That's a good cry. Lord, I can't believe you made a way. That's a good cry. The devil's always picking on. Oh. Get over it. Sorry, Don. You know, listen. Get over it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Life was not created to be a pool party. You know people had those pool parties. They just, whee! And jump in the water. That's not life. See what happened, Paul, when I wear comfortable clothes? The point is, but if the imitator can get us to think that's the way life should be, we'll keep living in disappointment. Yes. That's right. How come we don't want to talk about the story of Joseph and how God gave him a vision and everybody around him hated him for it? The closest people around him didn't receive it. And the closest people around him was jealous. Threw that brother in a ditch. That's good stuff for us to know. See, I don't want to know about the pool parties. I want to know about the people, because my life is like Joseph. God gave me an anointing that I didn't know what to do with, and everybody around me hated me for it. And the enemy was trying to kill me, and I didn't even know why he was trying to kill me, because I didn't even know how to use the tools God gave me. When you don't even think you're special, and people hate you for the specialness that they see that you can't even see yet. You put into a ditch, and you didn't even ask to be there. See, that's why I love the Bible, because it's relatable, and it helps me understand, okay. Now I understand when you've been imprisoned, and you ain't even do nothing wrong. When people falsely accusing you of things, you ain't even do nothing wrong. Hallelujah. Weathering the storm. Owning it. 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 Taking control of it. Understanding who you are. He created you to have dominion. How dare you say what's not going to work? How dare you say what you can't do? If Christ is with you, if he is with you, then you're going against what he said. Because he said you can do all things. But you have to change your mind and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Get that old mindset out. Get that mindset that has all that mold on it. You got to clean it up. What do they spray on mold? Bleach. Clean that mold up. Get something else on what you have. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care what you're dealing with. I do care about how you're dealing with it. I say, I don't care what you're dealing with. I care about how you're dealing with it. Because God isn't sad that we're dealing with things. What he's sad is we're not responding to those things in the way he created us to respond to them. That's why he's sad. Because he's like, I gave them dominion over it, and they're not even utilizing what I gave them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, if you recognize you're the head, you sit up straighter. If you recognize you're the head, you wouldn't let people take control of your life. You recognize you're the head, you wouldn't let children tell you what they're going to do and what you're going to do.
Come on now.
I have two words that's always in my vocabulary ready for anybody in my house, no matter what relationship they are to me. The two words is get out. I'll say that to anybody. I'll even say it to me. I say it to my flesh all the time. You got to go. You got to always have a kick out mentality. Or you'll accept anything. Even if you let yourself get away with things. You got to kick some things out that got up in there. And you're like, I don't know how you got up in here. Have you ever had to kick something out of your mind? And you're like, I don't know how that thought got in here, but you got to go. Amen. Oh, is this a religious hour? I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Am I talking to the wrong? Is this the holy? This the holy hour? Should I wait for 2:30 service? Okay. Go to Psalm 107, please. Go to Book of Psalm 107. Yes, sir, 107. Psalm 107, verse number 28. It says in 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. God's intention for us is not for us to be destroyed by any storm. I need you to know that. His desire for us is to become overcomers of the storm. He has allowed it to come so that you can analyze it and get your game plan together of how you will overcome that thing. The enemy wants you to see that storm as the finisher of your faith. He wants that storm to look as though you'll not be able to overcome this thing, to go against the word of God that says we are overcomers. If the enemy can make you think you can't overcome that, then you can't believe in the power of the word, so therefore you can't receive it. And once we understand the concept of overcoming, then we can begin to teach others and help them do the same. But we can't teach anyone else until we can understand. Listen, I've been there before. The worst teacher is a damaged teacher. You can't tell somebody else God's going to make a way if you're not believing God's making a way in your life. Hallelujah. Let's get ready and wrap this thing up. How do we weather a storm? How do we weather a storm is twofold. How do we weather a storm is twofold. Number one, we weather a storm in the spirit first. In the spirit first. What do you mean by that? We hear from God. We hear from God and we lead. We hear from God and we lead. What does that mean? We hear from God and we lead. Moses weathered the storm by hearing from God. By hearing from God. Hearing from God. Hearing from God. Hearing from God. Hear me. I didn't say hearing from yourself. I did not say trusting your gut. I did not say trusting your gut. I didn't say going with what feels good. I did not say going with what worked last time. Oh, I wish I had somebody to understand. Oh, I see. Did you hear me? I did not say what happened, what worked last time, do that. I did not say that because that was for that. This is for this. And we can't say, well, since it worked last time, I'm just going to add it to this. Hearing from God, going back to God and saying, Lord, what about this? Lord, I know I had a hard no on that, but do you want a full yes on this? Just because I said no 10 times doesn't mean my 11th time God still wants me to say no. And just because I gave them 10 yeses doesn't mean my 11th one won't be a no. Amen. Two, in the flesh, in the natural. What do you mean by that? Moses heard in the spirit. In the natural, in the flesh, it was Joshua. Joshua heard from Moses, and he responded. I said the first one, in the spirit, was Moses. Moses heard from God, and he led. Moses heard from God and he led. That's the spirit. In the natural, it was Joshua. Joshua heard from Moses and he responded. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? I need you to understand this. Joshua didn't do what y'all do. I know what Pastor said, but I can hear the Lord for myself, so I'm going to wait to hear from him. See how quiet it got? That means I just went in your living room and sat on your couch. I opened up your window and felt the breeze myself. See, there has to be, in weathering the storm, two functions. Because we've learned God is a God of order. He's not going to have two people waiting to hear the same thing and then have a meeting to decide if they agree that that was God. So he's going to speak to the one that he called to hear from him. And then he's going to speak to the one who should hear from the one that he spoke to. The reason that Joshua was so blessed and the reason that Joshua was able to eventually continue and take over is because Joshua recognized the principle of how to follow God. He recognized the order that God gave, and God gave Moses the responsibility to hear from him. So he didn't compete with Moses. He submitted himself unto the one that God gave, and he said, I'm not going to go against what you said, Moses. I'm going to hear whatever you say, and what you say, I'm just going to go, and I'm going to instruct the others to do what you say. And weathering the storm is twofold. We got to have spiritual and natural. Everybody can't be in the natural and everybody can't be in the spirit. I want to close with this. When you do what God required for you to do, then you will eventually become the example to follow, just like Joshua. If you continue to read about Joshua, in Joshua 24, I believe it's 7 through 9 or something like that, at that point, Joshua was beginning to take over the reins, and God was giving him the authorization that he gave Moses. And then he was able to finish out the calling that God put on him. When you weather the storm, you got to recognize some things. God's given me this to grow me up. God's given me the ability to find out and the opportunity to find out, can I listen and can I submit? Or do I still want to bump my gums and flex my muscles? And weather in the storm, you're supposed to see things come your way. But what did God say about it? What did God say about it? Or have you not heard what God said because you've assumed what God has said? What I want to speak over this whole church today is God is speaking But are we receiving it because it goes against how we heard God say to us? In the name of Jesus, I see so heavy that God wants to give you that dunamis power.
Amen.
He wants to give you the dunamis power, that power of God. He wants to give you the ability to walk as no one walked in your family line. But he can't give it to you if you don't know how to receive the way he wants to give it and go against the way you want to receive it. He wants to make sure if it didn't come the way you wanted it to come, will you still do it even though you don't like the way it came? Are you still taking everything God says, get in your car and then have a second church service to talk about what you agree or don't agree with what was said? Because if you are, you're just slowing the process of you having authority of your storm. Because God's not going to have a storm listening to you until you'll listen to what he's giving you to listen to. Because when a storm recognizes, oh, this is somebody that understands submission, obedience, and power, then you can operate in the full spirit of God. I speak over this house. When I tell you something, God has called this church, and I am not saying this because I'm the pastor. God has called this church to be the beacon of light. But in order for us to be what he called us to be, we have to be comfortable and ready to receive darkness entering into our light. You can't say, why are they here? What are they up to? They look different. They should look different. They don't talk like us. Good, they shouldn't. They don't pray like us. Good, they shouldn't. Because he told the disciples, go to all of the highways and byways.
Hallelujah.
That's streets, corners, sidelines, backyards,
everywhere.
Alleys, and everything else. Amen.
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 Weather in the storm. Get up and look at the water that's coming into your boat and speak to it. Speak over the lie the enemy told you. Talk back to it and declare not so. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I feel a move of God taking place in this place. I feel a wave of God taking place. In the name of Jesus. I feel a wave of God moving in the sanctuary in the name of Jesus. I want you to know, I want you to know, I want you to know, I want you to know it's not over. It's just beginning. It's not over. God's not through with you because God's just starting to get with you the way he wants to. In the name of Jesus. You're just getting picked from the tree. I know you have memories of what happened, but that is so your past. Oh my God, I can feel it so strong. There is a revival that's taking place in the spirit realm that God is doing surgery on the hearts of men and women like never before. I want you to know your past is not for you, but your past is for others. It's going to come before you, and you're going to be able to bring healing unto them from the hurt that you endured. But I need you to stop talking about what happened to you and save it. Save it for the ministry. Stop talking, zip it, and save it for the hurt that's coming. Because God says there's mending time now. There's mending time. There's graduation time. Graduation time. See, T, I hear God saying to you, you're just like my mother. When there was no other way to get to you, he got to you in the physical realm. Because he couldn't get to your mind because your mind was so strong in the things of God that he got to your body first, and then he got you into a weaker point, then he could work on your mind. Same thing that he did with my mother. the exact same way. I've taught the church before, there's sometimes the devil knows if he can't just stop you, he slows you up and he pecks at you long enough. That's how he operates. Now that you and that warrior that is your wife knows, now you know how to attack him. I want you guys stirring up Chase Avenue, whichever one it is. Stirring up that street. I want y'all praying so strong against the imitator that people on the street wonder what's going on because they start feeling the power of God moving on that street. Yes. Because he knew if he could wear you out, he could wear your wife out because she's your covering. And if he could get you tired, then he can get you tired. And if he can get you tired, he can get both of y'all because you're the covering of him. And if he can get y'all to not really talk about it, but then to feel like you're going to just be strong and strong, then nobody could cover y'all. God says, yesterday you hit a reset button. And God says, moving forward, you're going to understand that the power of God is with you in a different way than it was before. And finally, God says to you, stop saying you wish you got saved younger and earlier. God says, stop saying that. Because God says, I needed you to live the life you lived so you'd be so strong in the things of God now. And God said, you were just as strong in the world how you were. And he says, and I needed you to do all of that so that you could be a living testimony.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God says, if I needed you to be saved back then, I would have made sure you were. Now, live your life in the name of Jesus. 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 Y'all need to get ready. Y'all need to get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready, get ready. I feel a move of God. Get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready for visitation of the Holy Spirit. Get ready for a visitation of the Holy Spirit. Get ready for a visitation of the Holy Spirit. Get ready for the Holy Spirit to just move when you're just sitting in the living room watching TV and the Holy Spirit is going to move. Get ready. Get ready for a disruption of your life because it's not your life anymore. Get ready. Get ready. Tay, God said there was this interruption that took place yesterday that changed some things on the inside of you. God says, you get ready. You ain't seen nothing yet. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, all of the people that you have spoken to, I pray that you seal it with a knowing that they know it was you. Seal it with a knowing that they know you spoke to them in things that only you could speak to them, Lord God. Speak to them knowing, Lord God, that you have positioned them in an atmosphere and in a place, Lord God, that was purposed by you. Let them know that they made many accidents before, but this season is not an accident. In the name of Jesus. Let them know that they've made a lot of decisions that backfire, but this decision won't backfire. This decision will spring them forward into their destiny. In the name of Jesus, I feel his power so strong in this place today.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.